All right. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. It is a blessing to be here. And, of course, bittersweet feelings tonight. We're getting ready. We've been here about 4 months and been in the country of Laos for 17 months prior to that. And getting ready to go to Cambodia. And, of course, saying goodbye to the grandchildren and the kids. I got a card today from little Mary Esposito. I don't think she did the writing in the card. But it says, "Dear Uncle Johnny, thank you for the ice cream. I will miss you. I love you." And then, P.S., we opened her piggy bank, and she wanted to give this to you. And I love these kind of cards. Somebody say amen. And, of course, she doesn't appreciate the value of that, but I sure do appreciate the fact that she broke into her piggy bank. And then I don't know if this is from Brother Meyer, so it's probably only $5 worth. Amen. But my wife will be very happy about this, because ever since I got Kindle, and that's John, Jazz, and I think the Limcacos, I think it's their fault, ever since I got Kindle, I probably purchase about 3 or 4 books a week, at least 10 books a month, and the bill or the invoices or whatever goes to my wife, and she gets a little bit bitter. That is my besetting sin. And I want to say this real quick. I was with Pastor today, and today was probably the most responsive that I've ever seen him. Actually, in the last couple of weeks, he's been pretty responsive. But today, of course, it helps to have my younger brother Jimmy and me there, because you got two clowns, amen. And then we had a nurse there who was clowning around, and he was just all over the place, and he was laughing about a lot of different things, and a lot of family stuff we were talking about. So Mary got to find out. Miss Mary got to find out some of the dirt about the Esposito side of the family. But he just really looked good today. He looks so much younger than Brother Myers. Amen? The truth of the matter is, I don't know what it is. It's the rest or whatever. He's actually looking like he's getting younger. And Miss Mary keeps saying she looks like she's getting older. So I told him today, pretty soon they're going to say you married an older woman. Amen? But I was told... Our former pastor, Pastor Jim Black, was in town. Actually, he's been in town for a couple of days, and I went to see him on Sunday afternoon. They were having their 40th anniversary at Gethsemane, and had a chance to talk to him a little bit, and there's just an emotional time. And but I was told yesterday, got a text message, that he went to visit Pastor Joe, and I was told in the text that I was the most excited that Miss Mary had ever seen him. I know when I mentioned to him that I had talked to Pastor, actually Pastor Black called Pastor Joe a superhero. So I'm not sure if that was Superman or Jeremy Spider-Man. I'm not sure which superhero it was. But, I'm thankful for people who've influenced us for Christ. It was Sunday morning was just a really emotional day for me. Just a couple things before we read Ephesians chapter 2. There's a lot of different things that you'd like to say as we're getting ready to leave and go to Cambodia. By the way, this is not the way you send somebody to Cambodia. It is freezing in here. Somebody say amen. It's like, good night. I was going to preach from out there because at least they have the heater on out there. But I thought about a lot of different topics and so on. But I'm going to share truth with you from Ephesians chapter 2. In just a few moments, has nothing to do with missions. We're going to show a short clip at the end that's sort of missions, but the rest of the message is not. But I do want to say a couple things. Just a little bit of fatherly advice, because I'm like the old guy in the house. Just as we get ready to leave, just a couple things. First of all, pray for Brother Myers and support him and help him. While I was on deputation, and even while I was on the field, I heard pastors say a couple times from the pulpit, via online, that the last 2 years before he went to the hospital were the two most difficult years at Pacific Baptist Church. I heard him say that a couple times, and I think I heard him say a couple times, well, you know, we lost Brother Board, we lost my brother, we lost some key staff members, and that type of thing. And that's always going to have an impact. Plus, of course, the starting of the church in Maywood. You have to understand, not only have you lost staff members, but pastor's in the hospital now, and Brother Myers is trying to do pastor's job and his job. And he sure could use your prayers and your support and all your help. And you've been doing a great job. You guys, I mean, this place is packed tonight, even though it is freezing in here. Amen? But pray for him and do all you can to support, to help with the work here. Then pray, continue to pray for Pastor. And there's a lot of improvement, but of course he still needs a miracle. And so pray for him, pray for his family. And I would say this, pray and do all you can to support Miss Mary. Yes. Just, what are you going to say? Come on. Amen. You know, none of us in here knows what she's going through. None of us know what she's going through. And so she could use all the prayer, the encouragement, a text message, an email every once in a while. Just pray for her, encourage her, and of course the kids too. But, you can imagine, as far as I know, the only boyfriend Miss Mary's ever had, the only man she ever liked, the only man she ever loved, is laying in a coma and has been for 13 months. So she can definitely use your prayers. And then, of course, as a church family, just keep pursuing Jesus. Amen? Yeah. And just keep going with God. And you can't go wrong with Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, let's all stand. Ephesians chapter 2. One of the things Pastor laughed at today, of course, I got him going. I said, Pastor, Mike Johnson is going to be doing the couples retreat. Man, he started rolling. I did too. For some reason, it's just hard for me to imagine. Now, Mike Johnson's going to do a great job. I know he is. But here's my take on it. Mike Johnson's going to get all the women in there and say, bless God, we got all the wives in here. Submit to your husband. Amen. So ladies, make sure you're there. Amen. Nah, he'll do great. I'm sure he'll do great. But Ephesians chapter 2, but Pastor thought that was pretty funny. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. I'll read out loud. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. I'll read out loud. You follow along with me. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened or brought to life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. By the way, we should never be surprised or shocked when a lost person does something. The longer we're saved, the easier it is to forget what it was like before we were saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Among whom also we had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, boy, that's a sermon right there. But God, who is rich in mercy, and I'm glad that he is, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But by the way, there's so much to be said about each and every one of these verses. That in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Yeah. Not of works, lest any man should boast. By the way, if you think you could work your way to heaven, you have been greatly deceived. I don't know who the best Christian is in here today, but you can't touch the hem of the garment to do enough works to get to heaven. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Somebody say amen. Not of works, as any man should boast. Now, I want you to notice verse number 10. Verse number 10 is actually our text this evening. For we are his workmanship, his tapestry, his piece of art. It actually comes from a Greek word where we would get our word poem. Your life and my life is the poetry of God. And we'll talk about that in a moment. For we are his workmanship created. That, by the way, that created comes from the Greek. It means a couple things, but one thing that it means, making something out of nothing. We were all a bunch of nothings. Somebody say amen. And God is in the process of making us something. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Now go to Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage. We've preached it many times. We've heard it. In the last year, probably, this passage has been referred to more than any other passage just because of pastor's situation. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, the Bible says, and we know, not we hope, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know, not we think, and we know, not it might be, with, and we know that all things, how many things? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. I want you to notice in verse number 28, it says, all things work together for good. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, there were so many different directions that I wanted to go, and you know, there were so many thoughts on my mind, but I just want to be an encouragement to our church family tonight. And Lord, each and every one of us is a poem. We're your poetry. We're your tapestry. We're your piece of art. And we're not what we ought to be, but we are not what we used to be. And you're working in us for a purpose and a reason. I pray that you'd help us tonight to understand that, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just a couple of introductory thoughts real quickly. The letter to the church at Ephesus is a rich letter. It's filled with some of the greatest truths found in all the Bible. The first three chapters deal primarily with doctrine. The last deal more so with our duties as children of God who have redemption as through Christ, through his blood, forgiveness of sins, obtain inheritance as heirs of Christ. I would say, and I think most commentators would agree, that the key passage in the book of Ephesians is what we just read a few moments ago. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we usually stop right there. And by the way, that's a good place to stop. But verse 10 is very important. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, we just said a moment ago, we're not saved by good works. But may I say something? We are saved unto good works. Somebody say amen. There are no good works that we can do that will ever earn us the right to enter into heaven. But after we get saved, God begins to work in your life and in my life so that we can let our light so shine, so men can see our good works, and so that the Father in heaven can be glorified. In this passage, we're reminded that we're saved by God's grace through faith and that it's entirely a gift of God, and praise God for his amazing grace. I was thinking as I was at Gethsemane the other day, and they gave me an opportunity to get up to say a few words and to pray. And I'll be honest with you, it was emotional. Amen. And I'm just thankful for the amazing grace of God. Yeah. And those of us who've been saved for a while, and if we take time to remember what it was like before we were saved, we ought to be able to shout. Somebody say amen. Amen. And right where Gethsemane Baptist is, now that's not where Gethsemane was when I first started attending, but where it is right now, that's where we used to live, right down the street. Man, my name used to be spray painted all over that neighborhood, probably on that church building. I mean, that's my old turf right there. Not too far away is where, you know, I came from the Ramirez house. Amen. Bad place to hang out. This is B.C. before Christ. And we had a little bit too much to drink, and it wasn't Pepsi. And I told you the other day, and I was laying on some train tracks. praise God, no train came. Somebody say amen. Well, maybe it did. I was 6 foot five at one time. I don't know. I'm thankful for God's amazing grace. I'm thankful that what I used to be, I'm no longer today. I'm thankful that God reached down from heaven. I wasn't looking for him, but praise God, he was looking for me. I'm thankful that one day, January 17th, 1977, a sinner saved by God, I got saved in a telephone booth. I walked in that telephone booth, lost without Christ, my marijuana earring on. It was a cute one too, by the way. And I walked in there lost on my way to hell. I walked out of that telephone booth with Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm thankful for the grace of God. But that grace inspires and instills within us the capability to love the God of that grace. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. I want to take a couple moments tonight and I want to talk to you about God's purpose for your life and for my life. Whether it's Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 2, or many, many other passages in the scripture, there is a truth that is very apparent. You could go back in the Old Testament and you could see Jeremiah, who was called as a prophet from the womb. You could go from story to story in the Bible and you'll find that God has a purpose for your life and for my life. And God is constantly working in us and through us for the fulfillment of that purpose. Yes, there are no oh-ohs with God. There are no accidents with God. Amen. And we need to understand that tonight. And I'm afraid that sometimes after we've been saved for a while, we get comfortable in the church service. We get comfortable singing the songs. By the way, we ought to be in the church services and we ought to be singing the songs. We get comfortable with one another, but we lose sight that there's something more. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit tonight in the few moments that we have. Somebody has written, this is almost like part two from Brother Joseph's Sunday school class, so I don't have time to review part one. So somebody has written that across history, people have come to God through different experiences. But in the end, they have a designing hand that shaped their lives and their circumstances. God is always working behind the scenes. Always. Robert, it is no accident that you lived in Carmelita's housing projects when you were a kid. It's no accident that I grew up in a home where my father, of course not a saved man, my father moved us from place to place. We never lived anywhere more than 2 years. And you know what God has done? God used that to wire me the way I am for his good. Yes, sir. Amen. Tomorrow night I'll fly out of here and we'll fly into Cambodia and I'll be in Cambodia for 10 days. And 10 days later we'll jump on a plane and we'll fly into the restricted nation that I served. And I'll be there for 2 weeks and I'll be preaching. By the way, pray for our meetings in that country. We have some house church pastors from all over the country who are going to be coming in, and I'm going to be teaching them 3 days, 3 hours a day. They're coming in. The man who sort of heads up that group has spent a lot of time in prison. What we're doing is a little bit risky. I'll be teaching another group of national pastors and some Bible college students, and I'll be there for 2 weeks. And while I'm there for 2 weeks, my wife and I will jump across the border into Thailand, and we'll be in Thailand, I think, 2 or 3 days, and I'll be preaching at a Bible conference there. A bunch of national pastors from Thailand and some groups from that restricted nation. And then we're going to fly. We're going to be there for about 2 weeks total. Then we're going to fly into Bangkok, and we're going to be in Bangkok with our teams from the three different countries, Cambodia, Thailand, and the restricted nation. And we're all going to get together. There's going to be some teaching, and then I'm going to fly back into Cambodia. You say, where are you going next? I don't know. And I love it. But not everybody likes that. My wife doesn't like it. Somebody say amen. But she just follows. Amen. There's no accidents. There's no accidents that I grew up in a home. There's no accidents that I grew up in a home that was a broken home. It's not an accident that I grew up. And by the way, you right now think about how you grew up. Because one of the things that help us to find God's purpose for our life today is we look at God's destination in our past. It's no accident I grew up in a broken home. It's no accident that I grew up with a mother who was physically abused, emotionally abused by my father. It's no accident that for quite some time we were fairly impoverished, not like the rest of the world, but as far as America is concerned. See, all things, can I just say all things? All things work together for good. As I look back at the different churches and the different things that I've been influenced by, whether it's a Brother Black and at that type of thing, I look back and I realize that what God has always been doing and God is still doing, and by the way, God's doing it in your life. It's God's molding and making. Now, first and foremost, he's conforming me into the image of Christ. We saw that in Romans chapter 8. But he's preparing you for something. And may I say this? It's not just to sit in a church service. Now, he's not preparing you to do what he's preparing me to do. I think about my brother. I think about Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe hated traveling. How many times did you hear Pastor Joe say, how many times did Pastor Joe speak out at other churches? I mean, really, you think about it. Pastored this church for 25 years. This is a very successful church. He hardly ever preached out. He didn't like it. I love it. Somebody say amen. In the last 4 months, I've been in 40 different churches, and I felt shortchanged. Somebody say amen. Now, I haven't traveled like Sarah Vaughn. Somebody say amen. He travels in a van with like 425 kids. I told him the other day, if I had to travel in a van with that many kids, I'd have double IVs. Woo. Somebody say amen. God's preparing you for something special. Amen. But God has a purpose and a plan for everybody's life. And God, even before you were saved, he put you in. I'll never forget, and I've shared this before. I remember I'd only been saved for a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, and we were at a fellowship at a home. I was in the United States Army, and everybody was testifying, and everybody was giving blessings, and they were all talking about, you know, thank God I grew up in a Christian home. I had a Christian mother. I had a Christian father. Well, I started feeling sorry for myself because I didn't have any of that stuff. Far from it. So I said, I said something like, I wish I had a Christian mom and dad. Man, this elderly lady, probably about my age now, she looked at me, and she put her finger right in my face. Don't you ever. God gave you that mother, and God gave you that father, and God gave you that mother and father for a reason. Somebody say amen. God has a purpose and plan for your life. This writer continues. He said, his design for your life pulls together every thread of your existence into a magnificent work of art. I was going to try to do it. I couldn't find anybody who does cross-stitching or, is it cross-stitching? If you know anything about, I think it's cross-stitching. If you know anything about cross-stitching, if I'm cross-stitching from this side, if you look at the back of it, all you see is a bunch of threads that make no sense. God is cross-stitching your life and mine. And sometimes we look at all the threads of life and they don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But one day we're going to see the other side. Somebody say amen. It's going to make a whole lot of sense. Every thread matters and has a specific purpose. God does not display his work in abstract terms. He prefers a concrete. This means that at the end of your life, one of three things, this is so important, will happen to your heart. It will grow hard, it will be broken beyond repair, or it will become tender. Wow, that's preaching right there. You say, well, Brother Johnny, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this, God is working in your life and God is working in my life for a purpose, for a plan. There are some people that I can reach, you cannot reach. There are some people that you can reach that I cannot reach. There are some people that Brother Myers can reach that I cannot reach. There are some people I can reach that Brother Ryan Rawl cannot reach, and vice versa, and that type of thing. Now, here's the problem. What if some of us aren't going with the flow? In the city of Long Beach, there are gangbangers who desperately need Christ. I was one of them. Now, I'll be honest with you. Most typical church members, we had nothing to do with you. Nerd City. Amen? But there are some of you in here who you come from a background like that. You can reach them. There are some men and women in this city who are living very ungodly lives. They need to be reached with the gospel of Christ. Amen. Guess what? Somebody's got to reach them. There are some broken homes in this city. By the way, the further and further this country gets away from God, the worse it gets. There are some people in this city, their marriages are a mess, the family's a mess, that type of thing. Some of you were reared in that kind of home. You need to get off your high horse and thank God for what he did for you and help them. There are some young girls in this city who don't know Christ. They've lived ungodly lives and they have the scars to show it. Some in this church went through that, and all things work together for good. I didn't say all things were good. All things work together for good. There's some folks who are maybe going through a divorce or have went through a divorce. We're not for divorce. That's not God's plan. But can I just let you in on a little secret? Shh, don't tell anybody. God's plan doesn't always happen. So there are some divorced folks who need some folks who've experienced that to reach out a hand and touch them. Hello? That's what the church is all about. I just read recently in the country of Thailand, the men are very feminine. And actually, Southeast Asia, a lot of that problem, they're influenced a lot by the West. And I just read recently, and my heart broke. I just read recently about a group of young men in Thailand, and I may get it wrong. They call them the lady men. From the time they're babies, they're boys, they're males, they were born males. From the time they were babies, they were raised as girls. That's all they've ever known. Nobody wants to have anything to do with them. Oh, excuse me. Except for Jesus. Even when they get saved, churches won't have anything to do with them. Because it's so difficult for them from the time they were 6 months old, raised as a girl. Now they're 35, 40 years old. Somebody's got to love them. Somebody's got to love the homosexuals. Somebody has to love the immigrants who come across the border. I know that's not the political thing to say, but it's the biblical thing to say. Somebody's got to love them. And God works in your life, and God works in my life, and we all have different life experiences. And as God works in our lives, He's conforming us into the image of Christ. But there's something different about all of us. I was telling somebody recently, sat down and had a meal. I said, "Man, you are a perfect candidate for this." Click, 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 click. Can I say something? Everyone in here today is a perfect candidate for something.
That's right.
God has a purpose and a plan for your life. How can we know our design? God made us different. God made us different. Bobby, I told you not to have your boss text me. I was just kidding. I'm just glad you're awake. Amen. Our design, our desires, real quickly, we don't have much time. Our desires, God has put different desires and passions in our hearts. May I just say something? Sometimes if we're not careful, we quench what God has put in our heart. Some of you have a passion and you have a heart for a certain group of people and you say, well, nobody else has it, but God put it in your heart.
Amen.
Feed it. Fan it. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes in our kind of churches, we get to the place where we're reaching the families and we're focused on the family and we're reaching the middle class, the lower middle class or the upper middle class, and there's a whole segment of society that gets totally left out. But they wouldn't get left out if you said, God, I'm your piece of poetry. our desires, our destinations, where we've been. And by the way, our decisions. Can I get you to say decisions? I have to hurry because I do want to show a clip, and I know we're almost done. Every once in a while, God has to do something to get our attention. We get saved, we get baptized, we start growing in the Lord, we get discipled. Yeah, most of the time we don't get discipled, but we start growing in the Lord, and we're going to church faithfully, and you know, we change. And I've said this many, many times before. We get to a certain place, you know, I'm going to church 3 times a week, I'm going soul winning, I'm tithing, and all these things that we're supposed to do, we're doing, I'm reading my Bible, and then all of a sudden we stop growing. We become stagnant. So every once in a while, God has to do something to get our attention. And John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And sometimes God's trying to get our attention because he's trying to change the direction of my life. Remember years ago, you've heard me tell this story. Years ago, I was coach of our basketball team. We were going up the North Valley. Our boys were driving up in a van. I think they drove up the day before on Sunday, but I was flying up on Monday. I was at Long Beach Airport. I was waiting for my flight, and I was getting me a coffee. I was standing in line getting ready to order a coffee, and Long Beach Airport's not very crowded, but it was crowded enough. All of a sudden, I got a phone call, and I've shared this story many, many times, but it definitely illustrates the point I'm going to make. And I saw I was pastor, and I answered the phone, and I couldn't hear him real well. Pastor, what's that? It was just too noisy. I was in the midst of the crowd of people. There's too many distractions, so I couldn't hear him. And you've all been there, so I had to walk away from the counter. I had to walk away from the crowd. When I heard these words, "Your sister's dead." Can I tell you something? That one phone call changed my plans for the day.
Come on.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Changed my plans for the week. Hello?
Yep.
Every once in a while, God's given us a phone call. But we have so many distractions. We're stuck in the midst of the crowd. I didn't say bad crowd. Nothing bad with those people. It's just really hard to hear what God's trying to say. So every once in a while, what we have to do is we have to walk away from the crowd, walk away from the distractions, and we might just hear something that might change our day. It might change our week. I'll go further than that. It might change our entire life. Paul said, if you still have your Bibles open, Paul said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." There are some good works where all of us are to walk in. Those are what we call no-brainers. We're to live a holy life. We're to read our Bible. We're to pray. We're to tell others about Jesus. That's generic. That's for everybody. But my question is this. If pastor used to use this phraseology, your spiritual niche. Have you found it? You say, well, I'm going to church 3 times a week. Have you found it? Well, I'm reading my Bible. No, that's not what I asked. Have you found it? Well, I go soul winning on Tuesday night. I work on a bus route. Have you found it? If you cannot look in the mirror of God's word and say, I have found my spiritual niche for life, I want to challenge you today to seek Him till you find it. Jeremy, do we have the video ready? Jeremy, you guys ready? Now, I'm going to say this. This is a short clip. By the way, this is not put up by an independent Baptist, so don't stress out with the Bible translation at the beginning. Take your heart medicine. But anyway, you'll get over it. I am going to say this, because God has brought you to this church for this time, and this church has emphasized the 10:40 window, and this church has emphasized Southeast Asia, and this church has emphasized China. Yep. I'm going to guess there's a handful of folks here. Your spiritual niche has something to do outside of the boundaries of the United States of America. So, fellas, if you could go ahead, if we could get the lights, please. This is only a 2-minute clip, and we'll make one comment afterwards, and then we'll be done.
I see a nation like India, where there are more people living below the poverty line than there are people in the United States altogether. Last week alone, 100,000 children died of hunger-related diseases. I see a world where our dogs and our cats are eating better than our brothers and sisters in the Sudan. In addition to over 1 billion people who haven't even heard the name of Jesus that's on our lips. And on top of all of that, thousands upon thousands of our brothers and sisters who are imprisoned and persecuted in China and Laos, North Korea and Saudi Arabia. When we should be on the firing lines for God, when our people should be on the firing lines for God, most of them are still in the nurseries of our churches drinking spiritual milk with the mammoth needs of a world without Christ in front of us. We face two options. We can retreat from this mission into a land of religious formalism and wasted opportunity. Or we can risk everything to fulfill the divine purpose for which we have been created. And I say, let's risk it all. I say, let's risk it all. For the sake of 1 billion people who haven't heard His name, I say, let's risk it all. We are not living for this city anymore. We are living for the city that is to come. Are we going to die in our religion or die in our devotion? God help us to do the latter.
Are we going to die in our religion or our devotion? Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.